invite you to remain standing this morning for our gospel reading. Today is the Sunday yearly that we read the story of Jesus's transfiguration. We do this in our church tradition the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. So this gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. It all starts with a hike up a mountain. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him up that mountain. At first, this doesn't seem unusual. Jesus often retreats by himself to pray. And it isn't unlike him to take Peter, James, and John, his sort of inner circle of disciples, along with him. The other 9 disciples, presumably left at the bottom of the mountain, probably thought nothing of it. And it was all going along as planned, or at least planned in the disciples' minds until they get to the top of the mountain and look over at Jesus and suddenly notice that his face is shining like the sun and his clothes have become dazzling white. They don't even have time to catch their breaths before they realize that suddenly there are 6 people on the mountaintop and not just 4. Somehow they know the other 2 are Moses and Elijah. We don't know how they know, if Moses and Elijah introduce themselves, or perhaps they're wearing name tags, or perhaps, most likely, the Holy Spirit reveals this knowledge to them. Peter, James, and John now have a moment to collect themselves as Jesus chats with Moses and Elijah. Peter decides something needs to be done to commemorate this moment. And so he announces that he has a plan. He's going to build 3 dwellings up here on this mountain. One for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, if you ever need confirmation that something is a bad idea, you know it's a bad idea when you're interrupted by the voice of God. Because before Peter can even finish outlining his plan, he's interrupted, not even by Jesus or Moses or Elijah, but of a voice from the clouds. Suddenly, they are all overshadowed by a bright cloud, which is a detail in the story I find interesting, because at first, it seems to make no sense at all. What, after all, is a bright cloud? Aren't clouds in their very nature dark? Isn't that why we hate clouds in Cleveland? Because it makes it dark year-round? And then if the cloud is bright, how do you get overshadowed by something that's bright? Like, wouldn't the cloud illuminate you or brighten you? And then I thought, well, maybe that's the point. Maybe this bright cloud actually clears up mystery and confusion instead of adding to it. Maybe this bright cloud overshadows all the distractions. Peter yapping about building tents, Moses and Elijah hanging out, and instead points us right to Jesus, who should actually be at the center of this whole story. After all, it's from the bright cloud that we get these words. "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. The bright cloud overshadows them all with these words of instruction. After all, some of these words are familiar. Way back at Jesus' baptism, a voice also spoke from heaven and said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased." But this time there's an addition. This time the voice from heaven also says, "Listen to him." Listen to Jesus. Perhaps for a second, it almost seems too simple of an instruction for Peter and James and John. Of course they're going to listen to Jesus. What else have they spent the past few years doing? They've listened to him teach. They've listened to him tell parables. They've listened to him guide them on where they're going to go next. But they must have quickly realized it was more than that, because they all fall to the ground in terror. This instruction to listen to Jesus, it's in some way all-encompassing. So it means that those things that Jesus has been saying about his upcoming death, about being the Messiah, that those are all true. This instruction to listen to Jesus is going to impact the rest of their lives, and that's terrifying to them. And so Peter, James, and John fall to the ground in fear. But Jesus doesn't leave them there, because instead, after the instruction, comes a command. Jesus comes over and touches them and commands them to get up. Now, Peter, James, and John, they realize that they have heard Jesus say, "Get up," this way before, but it was always to dead people. You see, this is the same command, the same phrase that Jesus gives to Jairus' daughter and to the widow's son at Nan, both of whom he raises to the dead. To bring them back from life, he says to them, "Get up." So Peter, James, and John must be in really bad shape down there on the ground, like near dead shape, to be getting the command to get up from Jesus. This get up, it means not just stand up. It means be raised or even be resurrected. The disciples, they don't know it yet, but it's the same phrase the women are going to hear from the angel at the empty tomb, that Jesus isn't here, but that he's gotten up, that he has been raised, that he's been risen. So this command to get up, it's more than just get off the ground. This command, it's about being raised to something new. Get up, Jesus is telling them. Get up. The one who they are instructed to listen to is telling them, "Get up. We're going to come down from this mountain and go back to life." That's the command, get up. But Jesus knows that it can be a difficult command to follow. So he also gives the disciples a promise. Do not be afraid. Now, Peter, James, and John, they've heard these words before too. Like when Jesus calmed the storm, and later when Peter tried to follow him out to walk on water. And now here again is that promise. Do not be afraid. For a moment, Peter, James, and John probably find themselves thinking that this is a difficult promise to accept. How are they supposed to do that when there's so much to be afraid of? But then they look at Jesus. They look into his eyes and they just know. They're going to leave this mountain, but Jesus is coming with them. And Jesus is always going to be with them. And yes, the suffering and the death is going to happen. But somehow they know, I think deep in their hearts, even if they don't understand it, that that doesn't mean that Jesus will leave them. This moment on the mountain that started in such confusion, with dazzling white clothes and Moses and Elijah and Peter wanting to build tents, it becomes a moment of clarity. A bright cloud overshadows all that other stuff, and Peter and James of John get words of instruction. Listen to Jesus. And they get a command. Get up. And they can listen and they can get up because they have a promise. Do not be afraid. And so they get up, they set aside their fear, and they go down the mountain to listen to Jesus. instruction, command, promise. We're provided with the same in our lives today. And while we might not find ourselves up on a mountaintop with Jesus and Moses and Elijah, God is still providing bright clouds for us, bright clouds of instruction, command, and promise that overshadow our distractions and point us to clarity. So let's look again at those words of instruction and command and promise in our scripture. And as we do so, consider which one you might be drawn to. As we approach Ash Wednesday this week and the beginning of our season of Lent as a church, and our traditions of Lent of giving something up or adding something to us, perhaps there might be something in these words of instruction or command or promise that will guide you during this season. So first, the instruction to listen to Jesus. Now, just like the disciples, for us too, this might seem obvious at first. Of course we're going to follow the instruction to listen to Jesus, you might think. We're Christians, we're followers of Christ. After all, what else are we supposed to do? But in the midst of our world and our lives, and even our church sometimes, where there are so many voices that fight for our attention, sometimes we can miss the voice of Jesus. Sometimes we don't take time to actually listen to Jesus, to read the words of Jesus in the gospel, to not just accept what somebody else says that Jesus says, but to actually know those words in our hearts for ourselves. So perhaps this Lent you could commit to reading one of the gospels, to listening to Jesus in that way. Pay up attention to what Jesus says and does and to who he spends time with, who he talks to and who he reaches out to. Listen, too, to what he doesn't say, to what he doesn't talk about. And, of course, listen to what he talks about a lot. Or maybe you follow the instruction about listening to Jesus in your own lives and in your prayers. Take time to move away from the noise and from all those outside voices. Approach Jesus in prayer and actually listen. Don't just tell him what you want. Spend some time in silence and listen for the Holy Spirit for guidance and direction. From a bright cloud comes the instruction. Listen to Jesus. Then second, the command to get up, be raised up, be resurrected. In this command, it's a call to action, a call to movement. Now, this can be challenging for us because sometimes, like Peter, we like to stay where we are. We like to stay on the mountaintop, but our call here is to get up, to move. Pope Francis, he talks about this movement in the scripture in this way. He says, we are so often like Peter at the Transfiguration, saying, oh, how wonderful it is for us to be here all together, as long as it does not inconvenience us. We would like the Holy Spirit to doze off. We want to subdue the Holy Spirit. And that just will not work, for he is God, and he is that wind that comes and goes, and you do not know from where. We're being called to get up. Perhaps for you, this is a season of action, a time to get up and take the next faithful step of following Christ. For it's only by getting up and taking the next faithful step that we come to see what God has in store for us. So maybe now's the time for you to get up and go, to serve in that new way, to reach out to that person you've been meaning to reach out to do that thing in your heart that you know that God is calling you to do. From a bright cloud comes a command, get up. And then finally, the promise, do not be afraid. These are words that you may need for this season, because there's so much that's so easy to fear. You may fear loss, or change, or failure, or disappointment, or scarcity, or the unknown. While our fears may be different, they're all fears. They're all things from which we need that promise. And to all those fears, the promise is the same. We don't have to be afraid. We have a God in Christ who is always with us. a God who goes to death for us, so that we can be created not for death, but for resurrection, not for despair, but for hope. As God's children, Christ is always with us. And so perhaps this is the promise you need to live into this season. Maybe you need those words, "Do not be afraid," written in a place that you will see often. Maybe you need to remind yourself each morning and each evening of this promise, "Do not be afraid," that we can go with Jesus into the world with his strength and with freedom from fear. From a bright cloud comes the promise, "Do not be afraid." An instruction, "Listen to Jesus." A command, "Get up." A promise, "Do not be afraid." From a bright cloud, clarity comes. Listen then to the voice of Jesus and get up, be raised, be resurrected, and do not be afraid. Instead, follow Jesus down the mountain and take that next faithful step of following him. In closing, I want to share this blessing for Transfiguration Sunday by Jan Richardson. It's called Dazzling. Believe me, I know how tempting it is to remain inside this blessing, to linger where everything is dazzling and clear. We could build walls around this blessing, put a roof over it. We could bring in a table, chairs, have the most amazing meals. We could make a home. We could stay. But this blessing is built for leaving. This blessing is made for coming down the mountain. This blessing wants you to be in motion, to travel with you as you return to level ground. It will seem strange how quiet this blessing becomes when it returns to earth. It is not shy. It is not afraid. It simply knows how to bide its time, to watch and wait, to discern and pray, until the moment comes when it will reveal everything it knows, when it will shine forth with all it has seen, when it will dazzle with the unforgettable light you have carried all this way. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we pray, Lord, for bright clouds that overshadow the distractions, that offer clarity, that point us to you, that show us how to listen to Jesus. Show us how to get up and take the next faithful step. And that reassure us that we do not have to be afraid. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.